Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
Hallelujah. Let's try that again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm really moved on this morning. And in my preparation, I felt, to tell you straight up, I'm not going to try and preach today. And that might sound strange. I want to share with you a vision of revival. I just want to share a vision of what revival can look like. I'm sitting at home 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and seeking God, believing God for the finances for the trip to go to Uganda. And every time my heart said no, something would happen to say yes. And then I said to the Lord, let a church call me in. I know there's only a couple weeks left, but let a church call me so I can preach, you know. Just practically speaking, and within 3 hours, Matt said, are you available to preach on the 24th? So, just kind of, thank you, Lord. And then I said, because I respect the house, I respect how God is moving, and I always want to give preference to the pastor, to say, is there a topic you would like me to preach on? So I do that almost anywhere I go. I ask, is there something you would like? And sometimes they'd say, yes, could you preach on this? And other times they would say, just be prophetic. Just lean into what God is saying to you. So he sends back one word. Revival. And then an emoticon, fire. And I thought he was joking. So I said, for real? And he said, for real. So I said, okay. And the reason why I preface this, if I can grab a water, sorry, I should have brought it up in probably the Kleenex box while you're at it. My wife will remember this. When we were wrestling to come, we were waiting on God. We had come back from Africa, wanted to go back, but the Lord had us stay put, which was in Scarborough at the time. And we felt in our spirit, you know, we knew that there was a call for more ministry. And so we were seeking God. And an opportunity came to come to Hamilton. Was not on my agenda at all. And it's been an interesting time. But the Lord said this to me. Oh, Father. He said, go because you will see my glory. And I said, okay, I'm down for that. I'm up for that, I'm down for that, I'm in for that, I'm out for that. That's kind of what I'm all about. It's all what we should all be about. I want to see your glory. And so in coming here to Lakemount, when I called Pastor Matt, I'm just being really transparent with you. I really don't know how to be any other way. I called him on the phone, and he was driving in his car, and we had met, and I felt this connection with him. I didn't know him from Adam. He made me laugh till I cried numerous times in a couple of days. And when we were making a decision as a family to come, And I knew that it had to be here. And I remember when Paul was being set in, I sat in the back. And my brother prayed over me. I wept my face off. Normal. But the reason was his presence. The reason was his presence. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But I called him on the phone and I said, Matt, you know, we're going to come, la, 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 la. And then I said to him, I have this promise. I have this promise from God that I'll see his glory. And he said to me, Stephen, I'm with you. Kind of like, that's my promise too. That's what I'm expecting. That's what I'm believing. Father, we come in the wonderful name of Jesus. We thank you for the presence of your Spirit. Lord, in my weakness, help me. In my weakness, use me. Lord, give us today a fresh revelation, a fresh yearning, a fresh seeking, recognizing that revival rains are falling, that they're falling. They're on us, Lord. They're on the house. It's time. That which you have spoken that you would do over this house many years. Lord, this is the season. It is not another season, but it is right now. There is grace being poured out right now. There's fresh oil being poured out right now. There's fresh water being released. It's bubbling up. It's bubbling over. And Lord, we want to seek you. Hunger for you, thirst for you, till all that you've said what you would do would be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Amen. So I ministered a couple years ago and gave you a definition then of revival. I'm going to give it to you again real quick. It is when God takes center stage. The flesh is pushed aside, man's works are diminished, and God's work is accelerated and palpable. There becomes this reality of the sense of the presence of God. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Exodus 33. Exodus 33, verses 14 to 23. Hallelujah. He said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, God, Moses said to God, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring me up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? This is a church of presence. This is a church that yearns for his presence, that seeks his presence, that cries out for his presence. It's a church that's known for the presence of God. Do you know there's a lot of churches that don't give time, really, honestly, for the presence of God in their services? Their worship is 15 minutes, boom, boom, done, over, minister. It is cut into a certain mode in which they want God to fit into the mode. What I love about this house is that the opposite is true. The opposite is true. It's this. We want to fit into your mold, God. We don't want you to fit into our mold. Somebody say amen. We want to fit into the mold of his presence. So when his presence shows up, and if you begin to talk about revival and you begin to talk about his presence showing up, you have to be ready for anything. You have to be ready for him to come. I'm going to tone it down. I don't want to shout at you. I'm excited. I want to be ready for the Spirit of God to move. So that if the worship goes 45 minutes or 50 minutes, or if you only preach for 5 minutes, you say, I'm down for that. Why? Because of his presence. because his presence is leading. It's not a program. You can't program God in. You must be open for God to move and say, Lord, you first, us second. This is your house, not our house. And I sense in my spirit, I really feel this so strongly concerning Matt and Lisa. It is not a coincidence concerning what was shared in prayer this morning that they went through that valley of weeping. They went through that valley of weeping, and this house went through a valley of weeping. But you've turned it into a house of praise. You didn't stay in the valley of weeping, but you went into a house of praise, and you went into a house of worship. And because you responded in such a way that you would not let the grief and the sorrow overtake you, but that you continued to believe God for healing, continued to believe God for the supernatural, wouldn't let such a devastating event hold you back, but to say, Lord, you're faithful and true, even in the midst of the difficulty. Somebody say amen. Amen. Even in the midst of the hardship. And I feel the Spirit of the Lord saying, because you honored him in believing him and trusting him and pressing on in him, that now that wave of healing that many of you have been seeking is going to open up in the house. Somebody say amen. Amen. There's going to be waves of healing that are going to open up in the house. And that is a byproduct. Byproduct. Moses said, show me your glory. I want to say to you today that loving his presence and seeking his presence and responding to his presence opens the door to his glory. That if you don't love his presence, if you don't seek his presence, if you don't respond to his presence, you limit yourself from his glory. And his glory, as is declared in the scripture, his glory is found in his face. It's found in his face. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that no man can see God's face and live. God tells him that. But then God says, I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock, and I'm going to pass by you, and you're going to see all this wonder and all this glory as much as you can handle. Somebody say amen. Amen. As much as you can handle. That's literally what God is saying. You can't see the fullness. But as much as you can handle, I will give to you. And so I want to ask you, what's the level you can handle? What level do you want of his glory? Woo! Come on. Woo! What level of God's glory do you want on your life? Oh, it's not dependent on me. No, I want to tell you, it's dependent on you. It's dependent on your desire. It's dependent on how much you seek. It's dependent on how hungry you are. The greater the hunger, the greater the feast. Somebody say amen. The greater the desire. Because now, as the worship time this morning, and I want to say this prophetically to you. 3 weeks ago, we crossed over. 3 weeks ago, church. Those of you who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, 3 weeks ago, you crossed over. You crossed over into a new dimension in God. You crossed over into a new dimension of possibility and opportunity. You crossed over from what had always been to a brand new season, into a season of release, into a season of grace, into a season of receiving. Of receiving what you have asked for. Do you understand? There are seasons in God. I can't get into all of them, but there are seasons in God. There's seasons of preparation. There's seasons of maturing. There's seasons of deepening, and then there are seasons of receiving. This church right now is in a season of receiving greater grace, greater anointing. Listen, greater presence and greater glory. It is on us, I won't say you, it is on us right now. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. See, what happens is God's face is ever upon us. But in seasons of revival, it's as if though he magnifies his face to you. He magnifies it. You say, oh, I know who God is. I know who he is. Well, do you think Moses didn't know who he was? When Moses had been with God all that time, all those meetings with God, the testimony of Moses' life was he knew God face to face. That was the testimony of his life. And yet here Moses is, this one who is meeting with God face to face, getting as much as he possibly can, and he says this, I want more. I want more. God, I know there's so much more of you. I'm not satisfied with what I have. I want more. It's not a selfish desire. It's not a selfish desire. It's a simple reality is that when you love somebody that much, you want more of them. And when you realize how much God is holy love, which is beautiful, 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 how holy his love and how perfect his love is, what happens is that you can't help but desire, I want to have more of that love in me, because love can't stay inside, right? Love can't stay inside. If it's real love, it must come out. And so this is how revival, it builds. It builds. So God comes and he arrests as he steps down, his presence becomes more intensified and it becomes more palpable. And so what happens is that worship songs and writing of songs it just begins to flow. There is a greater intensity. And what happens to us who are in the presence, all of a sudden we're crying and we don't know why we're crying. I'm not sad. I'm happy. Everything's good. Why am I crying? Because your spirit is saying, Lord, I want more. Your spirit is saying, God, the world needs you. Your spirit, this is not your flesh, and this is not your soul. This is your spirit. Your spirit is crying out. It's joining in with the Holy Spirit, and it's joining in with the Holy Spirit saying, Lord, the world is lost and dying, but you are the revelation that brings answers. You are the truth that opens doors. You are the one that sets the captives free. And so, Lord, we cry out for more. And so you're worshiping, and you're loving God, but you're bawling your face off. Because he's ministering to you spirit to spirit. He's ministering to you heart to heart. And so there is what happens in revival. What happens in revival is that your heart becomes circumcised. And if you carefully look in Scripture, I know I'm jumping over a lot of material. But when you look in Scripture, you will find that the idea of a circumcision of heart is not something that was limited to the New Testament, but it was actually in the Old Testament. And God kept giving prophetic indicators about how necessary it was for our hearts to be circumcised. And so when revival comes, please understand, revival does not come to the world, it comes to the church. Revival does not come to the world. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it. No. You cannot revive something that's never been alive. You cannot revive something that has never been alive. You have to have once had life and then come, into aspects of death or sleep in order to be revived. Arise, O sleeper. You must be revived. So most churches, they need revival. Why? Because we've gone asleep at the switch. We think religion is Christianity. A good sermon is Christianity. Ouch. I like to preach good sermons. But I'd rather have a heart affected by the presence of God more than anything else. I'd rather have a heart come alive and be able to say what was sung throughout the songs today, purify me. Purify me. My known sin, I repent of. My unknown sin, reveal it to me. Show me where I'm not like Jesus. Show me, please, Lord. Please, Lord, show me where I don't look like you, that I might repent. Repent is not saying I'm sorry. Repent means change. And change is the ultimate indicator of true revival. The ultimate indicator of true revival is not even signs and wonders, not laying out on the floor. It's not, you know, woo, God, you know, pulling out the blankets and covering up the legs. You know, it's more than falling out in the Holy Ghost. It's more than speaking in tongues. True revival is you are changed. True revival is that you've moved from one level to multiple levels. True revival is where you recognize that my daily prayer is, Lord, change my heart. Mold it and shape it. I recognize you paid the price for sin. And my sin, not just my known sin, but my unknown sin, the blind areas, the things that I can't see. Give me ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to me, to the church. See, and when the church comes into that place where it comes into that place of just being on our face, do you know? This is the most powerful place in the world. Right here. Whoa, God. It's the most powerful place. Why, Stephen? Why? Because it's where people meet God. Come on, church. It's where people meet God. It's where lives get transformed. It's where they move from one place in God to a deeper place in God. The altar has always been the place of sacrifice. It's always been the place of, I lay down my life for you, Lord. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I'll go wherever you ask me to go. I just want to be in your presence, Lord. Somebody say amen. Because when that infects the church, it draws God in even more. It draws him even more. In revival, there's a greater love for the gospel. There's a greater love for the gospel. There's a greater love for Jesus. There's a greater love for the cross. There's a greater love for looking at Jesus, being in awe of Jesus. Just saying, I don't need to go anywhere else. I have Jesus. Jesus is the center. What happens is all the fluffy preaching goes out the window. All the preaching for praise and all the preaching for a notoriety and all the preaching for acknowledgement and all the preaching to people instead of for God goes out the window. I don't want to be culturally sensitive. That's not my job to be culturally sensitive. It is not my job to be culturally sensitive. That's not my job. It is not my job to be politically correct. Not my job. My job is to call sin, sin. Because listen to me, only sinners need a Savior. Only sinners need a Savior. So, oh, you have a psychological condition, or you have a psychiatric condition, or you need drugs to help you, and you know, you're just like, you were born that way, and you can't change it. No, that's not my Bible. Is that your Bible? Our Bible says that we are born in sin. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it, Eve. Double thumbs up for that move. We are born in sin and in need of transformation, absolute change, where I used to be this way and now I'm not because of God. because of the Holy Spirit. Sin no longer has power over me. Come on. Sin has been defeated. And so I can live in freedom, and I can live in peace, and I can live in ruling and reigning in Christ. So the gospel becomes that much more significant. And in the process of the gospel becoming that much more significant is that now you have the greater love for preaching. You have a greater love for the house of God. You have a greater difficulty wanting to leave, and you want to stay more. You're excited because of what God's doing in the house. You're excited because your ears are open and you're hearing it, and you want to say to the preacher, "Preach, preacher, because I want to hear what the Lord is saying through you." And you know, when you come into the house of God and you have that attitude of "Preach, preacher," the Holy Spirit says they're ready for more, and the preacher even gets more. And in anointing, in revival, what happens is that God takes the preacher to a brand new level. It takes us to a brand new level. You know why? Because more than anything else, when you're called to ministry, you are called to be out of the way and bring the bride to the bridegroom. You just want to get out of the way. You just want to be an instrument to bring God's people to God and God to his people. And so in revival, when the Spirit of God is moving in that might and that power, you are energized because you're saying, "Lord, they're here with you. And Lord, we're here with you. And Lord, it's not about me. It's not about what I can do, what I can say. It's about you. How can I build this atmosphere? How can I build this presence? How can I build this glory so that your people come and they meet with you? And they meet with you." And there's no greater joy in the heart of leaders and ministers in the kingdom than to have the people of God meeting with the Lord. Nothing greater. Healing flows in a greater simplicity because, like the woman with the issue of blood, people are touching the hem of his garment. It's an automatic because of the presence and because of the glory. It's not that we don't pray for it, but in revival seasons, what happens is you come into his presence and you begin seeking him, and the Holy Spirit draws near and you hear him say, "I'm ready right now. Your healing is available." And you respond with faith, and there's a release that happens in your life, and there's a healing that takes place. And then you want to testify. Come on. You want to shout out loud and testify to the glory of God that he's touched me. And then that multiplies, because when your faith activates God's healing, it activates faith in other people for their healing. And then they just, do you see where I'm going? It's a snowball effect. It's a snowball effect of God's presence and his glory flowing into his people. That you keep short accounts with God. You keep short accounts with God. Do you know what that means? Do we need to break that down? Do you understand? The minute you sin, you're like, "God, forgive me." You keep short accounts with God, and you keep short accounts with each other. Because you recognize that you are a habitation of the Holy Spirit, and you want the Holy Spirit to have free course all the time. You don't have time to not have the Holy Spirit have free course. Your desire is that, "Holy Spirit, you have free course all the time." Don't be surprised if in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. he wakes you up and says, "I need you to come and pray." Don't be surprised if you see angels. Oh, Stephen. Don't be surprised if your levels of the prophetic begin to rise on a level that you never imagined. Because why? Because you're in a revival season. You're in a season of revival. You're in a season of being quickened by the Holy Ghost. And because you're responding from your heart in love and of worship and of love of who he is and desire and seeking him, what happens is now it's like, I want to be so careful in how I live my life. He said it this morning, tiptoe in his holiness. I want to be so careful. I don't want to be like Nadab and Abihu, who came in and offered strange fire in the presence of the Lord. I don't want to be like Uzzah, who put his hand on the ark. He knew better. He was a priest. Don't touch the glory. Don't touch it. It's not yours. It's his. Don't touch it. Don't want to be like Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Spirit. Stephen, oh, those are pretty drastic stories. But I want to tell you something, that when there's an increase of the anointing, and there's an increase of the glory, and there's an increase of responsibility. Right? There's an increase of responsibility. And there's a recognizing that God loves who God disciplines who he loves. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's impossible for this glory to come and this glory to flow, and there not come an increase of intercession and prayer. It's impossible to get the heart of God. It's impossible to get his heart beginning to manifest in you and on you, and then to look out at the world and say, that's what they want. They can have what they want. It's just impossible. Do you remember when you first got saved? Do you remember what it was like? Now, some of you, because you've been churched your whole life and you got saved in the church and you were a child, it might have been a little bit different. But if you were not in a saved family and you got saved, all of a sudden, like, Jesus was just crazy, the answer. He's the answer for everything! Don't you know you need Jesus? Don't you know? You know, like you couldn't shut up about him. Are you anybody here like that? Was I the only one? I mean, I don't think so. You just had to tell people about Jesus. You just, like, it just exuded from you because it was like you knew, I have the answer for everything. You didn't know the ramifications of it. You didn't understand how it worked. You just knew that all your sin had been washed away. You had been cleansed. Heaven was open. God was real. You were in commune with him, and you wanted everybody else to have the same thing. Right? Want everybody else to have it. In revival, what happens is that all the stuff that has stopped you from living like that gets burned up. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. All your hurts, all your disappointments, all your frustrations, all your anger, all your bitterness, all your resentment, this is all toward God. That shuts your mouth, that prevents you from speaking, that the fear of the world is greater than your fear of God, gets burned up in the fire of revival. It gets burned up. You don't care what people think. You care what God thinks. Listen to me. You don't have an eye for temporal things. You have an eye for eternal things. There's a transformation. There's a transformation from focusing on the natural and the temporal to the eternal and the spiritual. And you want more than anything else, because you know the time is time. And you know that eternity is eternity. And so because time is time and it's limited and eternity is unlimited, you are prepping for eternity. You are prepping for glory. Come on, church. You are prepping for the eternal time in which we live before his presence. We recognize both those who don't know him and their desperate need for him and how we're called to minister to them, but we also recognize in and of ourselves that I want to be living for eternal things and not just for natural things. There's a man by the name of Count Zinzendorf. I love his name, Count Zinzendorf. He's a German who was pre-Luther. And he had a city called Herrnhut in Germany that was in revival. He established a prayer meeting. The prayer meeting was to go for 24 hours a day. And so because this Christian community was like in revival, they said, yes, let's do it. So they began taking hours of the day and night, like David did in the Old Testament with the ark, the tabernacle of David. And they began to have 24-hour prayer and intercession. It lasted. The prayer meeting lasted 100 years. A 100-year prayer meeting. Are you with me? Like, you see, they captured it. They captured it. They captured his heart. They captured who he was. It's not religion. It's not religion. It's not religion. It's relationship. God used them to usher in the missionary movement in the earth. What had been lost to the church was ushered in by this prayer and intercession and worship that was going up ceaselessly before God. Are you with me? See, all of a sudden in revival, it's like you're just like, I don't care about all this other stuff. It's not that your needs are not looked after. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not, Pastor Matt talked to us. It's not about being so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good. It's not what we're talking about. God needs you in the earth. God needs your spirit in the earth. God needs your heart in the earth because it's his. And so he'll look after your needs as you continue to seek him and hunger for him and thirst for him. One more scripture and we're done. I got to say this too, sorry, just before we get there. Denominationalism is swallowed up by communion and fellowship. Unity and oneness in Christ becomes paramount. I won't even go there. I won't even go there. Just put it there so it's on the tape. Zechariah 10:1. Ask rain from the Lord in the season of the spring rain. For the Lord who makes the storm clouds, and he gives them showers of rain to everyone, the vegetation in the field. Now, it would seem strange if you were to go outside and it was still raining, and you were to look up and say, can we have more rain, please? So it's already raining. Can we have more rain? Like, it's not enough. But the principle is, when the Lord begins to move, don't ever ask him to stop, ask him to increase. When there is a change of seasons, when you've walked over into a new season, you want that season to continue. Here's the thing, in most revivals, they were cut short because of carnality. In most revivals, they were intended to go on a lot longer than they went on, but there was all kinds of stuff that took place that prevented them from moving. I want to be a part of a revival that just keeps on going. Somebody say amen. I want to be a part of a move of God where it just flows and flows and flows and flows. Generationally, it flows and flows and ushers in the return of the Lord. Ask the Lord for rain.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.